All right, so we are studying the family, and we've learned that this is just a fundamental building block of society, right? It's so crucial. We've talked about how it's God's design, and we talked about how the family, it's a place for teaching and emphasizing the gospel, for training for life and towards holiness. And last time we were together, we talked about the importance of obedience and honor. Obedience and honor. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. As we talked a little bit last week about the importance or value of obedience and honor, we made mention of how important the way God has designed the family is. You see, the Bible presents the family as that which comprises multiple generations. You see, the family's not just made up of you and your wife. It's made up of another generation that has gone on before you, and a generation, Lord willing, if you have children, that's coming behind you. And this is the family, multiple generations. How many of you are excited about that? That it's just not your peers, but God has designed the family in this way. And so there's this cohesive unit. You belong together. And there are those that are older than you, and there are those that are younger than you. And we talked about how, so often there's the struggle with becoming old. And I know we joked a little bit about it, and you laughed, I was helped by an individual. He came up to me and he said, "I'm sorry for laughing." The reality is that we have such a hard time being old because our bodies just breaking down. And we feel in it. And I understand that. But I also want to encourage you, as all of us grow older, that we look at this as a promotion. As God is promoting us in maturity. How's that, right? How God is growing us and maturing us as we have more years behind us. Today, as we look at the book of Proverbs, I want to talk again about the importance of our family elders. When I say family elder, this is an individual who's older than you in your family, and somebody that in your mind you look at and you say, there's somebody that's gone on before me. They have paved the way. They're older. Now, last week we talked about honor, and we talked about how you are to honor your father and your mother. Invariably, the elders in your life are your father and your mother. I know that in some of your cases, you don't have a positive view of father and mother. But God has designed the family to operate best where there is honor for the roles and positions of father and mother. And we talked through that. And the book of Proverbs makes much of this multi-generational truth of the family. In the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, you see over and over and over again this instruction. Or should I say this phrase, my son, my son. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head, and chains about your neck. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. Look at verse 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. Make haste to shed blood. What is happening here? We have Solomon, who is, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, putting down into writing teachings for his son. Teachings for his son. This is just a small example, but very important to all of us. Solomon's role here of being the father is imperative, because the instructions that come forth from him are of such great benefit to the next generation. Did you see verse 4 where it talks about, it says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion? I want you to know, and young people, listen to this. We need the older generation, for they have wisdom and experience that we don't have. And we do well, and we honor them to listen to their wisdom. Now, as we talk about this, there are two sides to this coin. To those that are young, we need to honor and respect those that are older. But to those that are older, you bear the responsibility of being honorable, of being respectful, of being a man or woman of true godly wisdom. God has designed it this way. It's not my idea, but God has older people in your life. And God wants us to honor them, to respect them, and to hear them. To give them an ear, and to hear what God has taught them, or what experience and life has taught them. For it is a benefit and a help to us. You think about the mistakes you've made driving, right? I mean, we all drive. So the illustration works. And even our state, they honor the fact that a more experienced driver can be a teacher to a young person, right? You got to, is it still, you have to have 50 hours or so driving? Any new drivers in here? You have any new drivers? No, not yet. Right? But back when I had to teach my niece how to drive, I think it was 50 hours, and you have life experience that you can apply onto their heart and life. Now, if I'm teaching my niece how to drive, and she gets in the driver's seat, and she puts headphones on and sunglasses, and I'm sitting over here, and she goes on and she wants to drive, what is this displaying? This is displaying, I know how to do it, and I don't need you. Now, I know I wouldn't let that happen. I wouldn't give her the keys, don't worry. But nevertheless, so often that's what can happen to the relationships that we have with older folks in our lives and in our families. Oh, we know they're more experienced, and we know they have seen much of life, and they have wisdom that they can at least share. Listen, you don't always have to do everything they might share, but it's important to honor and to listen. Now, let me just preface what I just said. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So I'm talking in a certain context here. Okay? So if children, obey your parents. If they tell you to do something, you need to do it in the Lord. So I don't want that to be taken in a wrong way. But as you have older folks in your life, you do well to say, I want to hear what you have experienced and the wisdom from your life. And so as I'm teaching my niece to drive, and this was several years ago, and I loved it. It was a great time for us to together, and I enjoyed the teaching. I mean, it's scary at first, some dents in the car, yes, but you know, it's just a car. But I had the opportunity to tell her how to navigate a corner, to teach her what to do when a deer runs out in front of you. You know, to walk through these kinds of things with her, how to turn around in a tight driveway. And to share these kinds of things in life. Now, this is just with driving. Now, magnify it 10 times with life. And there are all kinds of things in life that older folks have experienced, that younger folks, you haven't yet, but you will. And so, rather than just barreling ahead and saying, I don't care what you said, I'll figure it out on my own, which sadly too many people do, take advantage of what God has already built into your life and family. And take advantage of the folks, the older folks, the older generations in your life. That could be an older sibling. It could be mom, dad, uncle, aunt, grandparents, you name it. There is value in the older generation. The book of Proverbs, as I have already said, is full of examples of this important truth. And what I like to share with you today is two exhortations. Exhortation to the younger: view those that are older as important. Honor them, as we've already talked. Learn to listen to an experienced perspective. Consult and seek counsel, as you saw Solomon instruct his son in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19 and verses 26 and 27 say this: He that wasteth his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. I hope you catch that, young people. If you waste your father, you chase away your mother, you are a child that causes shame and brings reproach. Stop, my child. Stop hearing the instruction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. Listen to those who want to guide you in the right way. As we think about the exhortation to those that are older, embrace age as God's advancement or promotion. The roles and methods may change, and they do, don't they? But your usefulness for God's kingdom remains important. I want you to hear that. I want you to know that. You may be limited by your physical abilities, but the life that you have lived, the experience you have gained, your wisdom is of great value. In ministry, the temptation is strong to embrace the new trends that are out there. I'm 40, been pastor for 10 years. I'm 41. Every year is a promotion. I've been ministering for 10 years. I started when I was new 31. And there's all kinds of books, magazines, and various different things of different trends that are happening in the realm of ministry. Okay? And so us pastors, we have to sort through those kinds of things. And God has graciously helped me to realize this important thing, that this church is much bigger than me. And this church has existed a long time without me. And there are some foundational things in this church that are there for reasons. And so it is important as we tread forward and seek to make changes or whatever it might be, that we understand and realize, why were those fences put there in the first place? Why was that established? And how do we do that? You talk to the older generations. You understand what they have seen and what they have experienced through their lives. I've only been in ministry for 10 years at this church. Some of you have been here for 30 years. Some of you have been Christians longer than I have been alive. And God has done incredible work in your life that He hasn't done in me. And I can benefit and learn from you. And if I can benefit and learn and be teachable as a pastor, as your shepherd, then let's practice this in the realms of our families. Be teachable. Be willing to hear different perspectives and value them. And so, older folks, listen. Embrace age as a promotion or an advancement. Exhibit a teachable and humble heart. Let me tell you something. One thing that makes it difficult to seek advice and input from others is when they share it with a proud heart. I think we all know what I'm talking about. When they will say, well, let me tell you this. And they go on with this big story that just exalts themselves. Let me tell you something. It's no wonder that people won't listen if we have an attitude of pride in our hearts. I know I'm treading on dangerous territory here because I am exhorting those who are my elders. But I do so with this in mind. God calls us to humility. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 because I want us to understand that that the family and the church needs to exist in an environment of humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, look at what we see here. Verses 1 through 4 are instructions from Peter to pastors. Verse 5, 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be clothed one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, the larger context of this may be for the church environment, but nevertheless, you see younger and older in this text. God knows and designed the family. He knows how it best operates, and it will operate well if there is humility. So those who are of the older generation, whether you're an older sibling who's 12 and you've got young people who are 3 and 4 in your home, or whether you're a grandparent, exhibit a teachable and humble heart. You may be sought after for wisdom and advice, but remember, you are a tool used by the Lord for his divine purposes. Remember to allow room for cultural changes, but never compromise the truth. Again, another exhortation to my elders would be this: develop a discerning eye and tongue. Develop a discerning eye and tongue. You will see things that you would do differently. You will be tempted to want to change people to your way of looking at things. Keep Jesus at the center of what you say. Major on the majors, minor on the minors. Major on the biblical truth and principles, and minor on the methods, allowing room for legitimate changes due to societal changes in technology. Keep in mind that the younger generations are not necessarily looking for you to tell them how they should do things, but for lessons you learned and experiences you had. Your perspective in life is valuable. What you have learned could save many from making those same mistakes. Do you realize in God's infinite wisdom, he has designed it that humanity can progress, that we can grow in technology, that we can figure things out and how to do things faster and better? And how does this happen? It does not happen by each generation coming. It's not like each generation is smarter than the one before it. It happens because there is one generation that takes what they have learned and it's built down on top of the next generation that's coming. And now the pool of wisdom and experience is expanded, and the new generation has so much more that they can use and benefit from. And that chain reaction continues to the point where you can see society flourish in so many ways. And just in my short lifetime, it's amazing to see what has happened and the things that humanity has figured out. Now, I know it's not all good. I know that. And I know some of my elders are going to look at me and say, "Pastor, the old days, they were special days." And I hear that a lot. You know what? Instead of cringing and smirking at that, you know what you should say? Why do you say that? What is it that you value from those past days? And perhaps I may glean something I can grab a hold of in these less simple days. You see, opportunities to grow and learn together happen every day all around us from various different generations. You have opportunity to pour into those that are younger than you, but also listen to those that are older than you. Understand, this is the way God has designed it to be. And understand your important place in that design. Whether you be young and vibrant and physically strong and you can throw the hay bales on the wagon, or whether you're no more throwing hay bales, you're driving the tractor and you're looking back and you're saying, hey, you keep throwing like that and you're going to have a bad back like me. You know, we need voices like that in our lives. We need those voices. We need you. Each one of you are important and valuable. So, dear ones, if you consider yourself aged, if you consider yourself an elder, one who is older than all the rest, won't you look at it as a promotion, as an advancement? A long life is one of the blessings for obedience. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. A lasting inheritance is a mark of a good man. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, my next statements may cause some cringing, but I want you to hear what God's word has to say. Proverbs 16, 31 says, the hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. What's a hoary head? A little bit of gray? Yeah. I hear that gray hair is now in style. My wife was just the hairdresser, and that's what she was told. So hey, we're in. Let's not run away from it. We're in. But listen to what it says. Proverbs 16:31. The hoary head or the gray head is a crown of glory. A crown of glory. If it be found in the way of righteousness. Don't miss that last statement. You can have gray hair, and you can lead many people astray. You can have gray hair, be proud, and teach others to be proud. Oh, church, we need to be a people that if we have gray hair, or when we get our gray hair, we walk in the way of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, listen to this. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the what? Is the gray head. Come on, guys. I know we like to be strong. And you know, I'd like to think that I still have some strength, and my boys think I do at least. But you know what? That's the glory of young men. But the glory of old, it's your gray hair. Why is that? Why is that? It's not some beauty advice. It's because your gray hair shows you are an elder, one who has walked this path ahead of us, and that you have wisdom and life experience that you can share with the next generation. That is a beautiful thing for the family. How about this Grandchildren are a blessing to the old. Can I get an amen on that? Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. I know I'm throwing a lot of various different things at you, but I think the overall point you get, we're all important, all valuable. As you read through the scriptures, pay attention to how the scriptures value the older generation. If you want to read something interesting on this subject, I encourage you on your own time. Someday I'll preach this, but 1 Kings chapter 12. Rehoboam assumes the throne from his father Solomon. And he seeks advice from two groups of people. He seeks advice from those who gave advice to his father, the older generation. And then he seeks advice from his peers. Read it sometime. And you tell me what God's message is in that passage of who is to be valued. It's not to say that we shouldn't value our peers and their influence. Certainly we can. But the older generation has something we don't have: wisdom and life experience. So take advantage of that. Listen to them and experience great blessing in your life as you do. Lord Jesus, this has been a message of various different scriptures, but yet, God, a message that's centered on this truth. Lord, the elders among us are important. I think of those that are in my life, and Lord, perhaps the church today are thinking of the elders in their lives. And God, I pray that we would be a people who respect and honor them and see the value of them in our lives, as in our families, in our churches. Well, God, this has been a good and blessed day to be together. I pray that you'd give strength to your people as they go from this place, and may we together be a great light for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.